Welcome to Focus on the Community on Memories 107.9 WAMW and worldwide live from WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Schwartzentruber. Each week we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Lagodi. Well, I'm excited about today's show. It's a continuation of our series in trying to educate our listenership on some state and local elections. And I'm joined today by a very important guest, and we're very excited to have him. I'm with Congressman Todd Rokita. How are you today, Congressman Rokita?
Hey, Grant. Great to be with you.
Thank you for coming on the show and for taking the time to do this. And I know a little bit about you, Congressman, but maybe for our listenership, if you could tell them a little bit about your background and how you got
sure.
into this.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm from almost the opposite end of the state, most of your listeners. I'm from Lake County, Indiana. I'm a
okay.
conservative Republican from Lake County, so I know how to beat Democrats. And your listeners elected me the youngest Secretary of State of the nation a few years ago, and I dutifully served as your Secretary of State for 8 years, and it was, along with this job now in Congress, the highest honor of my and my wife Kathy's lives. And we have two young boys. They're 8 and 10 as of today and tomorrow. They are 2 years and 1 day apart. We are planners, nothing
yeah.
else. And I'm one of those that goes out to Washington during the week. We live here in Indiana, all of us. I go out to Washington for the week, and I sleep in my office. I'm one of those, like I said.
Wow.
And just fight like heck for us. I fight for our way of life. I fight for our values, and just do everything I can. And then I get on the plane every weekend. At the end of every week, I come right back to be accountable to the people of this state, and to be accountable to my family, and just like we all are.
That's
so you see us in church on Sunday in Indiana. You see us helping our son Ryan push the cart up the aisle at Walmart. You see us at our son's baseball games, and just like when I was your Secretary of State, you know, we're accessible. When I was Secretary of State, and I think that might have been towards the first time we met. I think we met a little bit after that,
yeah.
Grant, but when I was your Secretary of State, I went to every county, including Davies and all the other counties around there, at least once a year. So we would literally, Grant, drive 45,000 miles per year. A lot of counties I went to more than once, but at least every county every year. I think that's important. I think that's where I get my marching orders, that when I'm seeing you, hearing you, feeling what's important to you, and what's not, that's how I can be a better legislator. You know, it's how I can be a better leader. So that'll be my focus. It's been very liberating going around the state again, Grant, now in the Senate race, because I'm getting to meet old friends, see new faces, and see parts of the state that I haven't been able to see since I was Secretary of State.
Well, that's wonderful, and I think it's definitely something that probably separates you from some of the competition. As part of this race, serving as the Secretary of State, that means Republicans and then the general populace have elected you for a statewide office. And
So we've been on the ballot twice, more than the incumbent senior congressman who we intend to beat. He's only been there a year. He's so out of touch. Burt votes with Bernie Sanders 85% of the time, and I can't find one person in Indiana that is really with. Well, that's probably a stretch. Let me say that I can't find one person in Indiana that thinks Bernie Sanders is right 85% of the time. Most people think he's right less than 1% of the time.
Right.
But
and you're referring to Senator Donnelly, is that right?
Yeah, you know, they say don't mention his name, but yeah, that's who it is.
Sure. So ultimately, but, you know, for our listenership, just so they understand, we're talking now about the Republican primary for U.S. Senate. And Senator Rokita is obviously one of the favorites to win that election. And then I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, Congressman, that the Republican would have to be the favorite then to win the general election.
Well, you know, Indiana is certainly a conservative state, and the state knows me and I know it. And, you know, for sure, you know, just like, let me put it this way, just like Schwartzentruber is like Smith down in Davies County, Rokita is like Smith up in Lake County. So it's a well-known name, and we're going to pull a lot of votes from Lake County that Republicans don't usually get. So, in addition to being known across the state, you know, we're gonna be able to get votes that, because the Lake County and Northwest Indiana will vote for their home guy no matter the party, and so they're gonna know me, and we're gonna get votes that we got when I was Secretary of State that other candidates can't get. But I will tell you this, you know, going against an incumbent senator is serious business, whatever state and whatever party. And so the question for your listeners really has to be, do you want to ultimately beat Joe Donnelly? I mean, if you think he's representing your values, that's one thing. But if you think voting with Bernie Sanders 85% of the time is a good thing, or is a bad thing, then you're going to want to change that. And if you really want to beat them, you have to pick the right horse. You have to pick the right candidate. And not only am I known, but I'm a fighter. And that's what I fight for Hoosiers. I fight for our values. And you can't – I don't think you're going to beat Joe Donnelly with a country club, a Republican, or a guy who's voted Democrat his entire adult life. You can't beat a Democrat with a Democrat. So – I think I'm going to be able to offer some contrast and a different flavor than the rest of the primary field can offer.
No, I think that's it's a good distinction that you're trying to draw, and I think it makes sense, and I think the listenership will understand that. And I guess you've talked a little bit about running for this office. Tell us about the process so far, and maybe some of your favorite experiences.
Well, like I said, it's been liberating to be out around the entire state again. You know, we're going to, I think, since late last fall, early winter this year, we've driven 13,000 miles.
Wow.
When I ran, we were on it. This week alone, we will hit 1,500 miles without leaving the state. And so, and of course I have a day job in Washington. But that's been great. I love going around.
So
you really have to love it.
That's amazing that you are spending that amount of time on it. I mean, I'm impressed, and I guess I was impressed earlier when you said that you do come back every weekend and you see your family and you go to church back home on the weekends. Where do you actually reside right now in Indiana?
Yeah.
I mean, tell us a little bit more about your family.
Yeah, it's Brownsburg.
Okay.
So when I was elected Secretary of State, we came down to Indianapolis and to be at the seat of government, and then eventually settled on the west side in a suburb called Brownsburg, Hendricks County. My district is, the center of my district is Lafayette and West Lafayette, Purdue University. It's about the biggest district in Indiana, if not the biggest. It's good for an old Secretary of State because, I went from 92 counties to 16, but it was very widespread, very rural. So, I've really gotten to understand better, even better than when I was Secretary of State, our agriculture and rural issues that we have. And, one of my goals is to get broadband to the last mile. That's been promised for years, but I really like what the REMCs are doing to get, just like they got electricity to every farmhouse, I think now they can use that same model to help get broadband to every farmhouse. Once you do that, now you can talk about telemedicine, you can get broadband to every school, you can talk about teleeducation, you can really start equalizing the playing field. I know we got off on policy there a little bit, but the fact of the matter is I love going around the state. I love learning what Hoosiers teach me, and I love being one of them, and I love fighting for us.
Absolutely.
That's going to continue. I'm 48 years old now this month, and I have a lot of energy to do this. It is the highest honor of my life to get to do this. So the biggest problem we have is the liberal socialist mindset that has really entrenched Washington, D.C. And we have an office here in Joe Donnelly's office, the senior senator, that professes that same thing. And I just won't have it. It's too important to our kids and grandkids. So I look forward to being an ally of Donald Trump. He is, I think, when those of your listeners who supported him last in 16, along with me, and I'm the only candidate in this Senate primary that supported Donald Trump. Of course, Joe Donnelly didn't either. But whether it's Mike Braun, Luke Messer, one was working against Donald Trump at the convention and as late as into the fall. And the other guy was nowhere to be seen. Again, he voted Democratic his whole life, so he probably wasn't too energized. But saving this country, and I can't express it boldly enough, I think what we did in 16 was save this country, at least for the time being. And Exhibit A, since you're a lawyer too, Grant.
Don't hold it against me.
I'll say Exhibit A is Neil Gorsuch, you know, and getting that guy on the Supreme Court, gave us a lifeline. Now we have tax cuts. That's Exhibit B, that are, you know, across your listenership. You know, people are getting $1,000 bonuses. I was just in a company at a company in Northeast Indiana a couple days ago where they were getting their margins are so thin because they're competing with China and Mexico, but they were able to give each one of their employees $500 bonuses.
Wow.
and keep their business in the U.S. So, and then we're seeing companies bring billions of dollars back from overseas. You know, so there's Exhibit B, and you know, we're going to have a lot of other victories going forward. And so the idea that people would work against that is really working against America, and it's working against Hoosiers.
Yeah, this is very good stuff, and I think it's stuff that's important to the primary electorate, but also the general electorate. And Daviess County in particular, and you may or may not know this, but it was the highest, I mean, it's a very Republican area, a very conservative area, and had the highest turnout and voters for the president.
Oh, good. Great.
Of any of the 92 counties. So,
yeah. Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See, if I was still Secretary of State, I'd know that.
But
that's terrific.
Yeah, it's just a very conservative area, and I think you're going to have you'll have some traction here. I guess tell us, and you've touched on this, Congressman, but tell us this particular role, at this particular time, you know, obviously there's only a certain amount of opportunities that you got in life. I mean, this position isn't always just an open seat, as it kind of is right now for Republicans and conservatives. So why is this particular role, U.S. Senate, important to you, and why should it be important to folks in our area here?
So I've been, Grant, in Congress a little bit now, and it's become clear to me that there are still many challenges in the House of Representatives, but I have fought the fight there, and I have done just about all I could do there, and I have gotten four major pieces of legislation done. We have eliminated No Child Left Behind. We have eliminated Common Core at the federal level. I have passed a bipartisan, bicameral budget that has led us to tax cuts and one vote away from eliminating a good portion of Obamacare. But we, you know, Joe Donnelly voted no. If I was there, he would have voted yes. I would have voted yes, and we would have got health care reform, Obamacare, largely repealed. We would have got that to the president just for signature. That didn't happen. So a long way of saying, I guess, I've come to conclude that the problems for Indiana, the problems for this country at the federal level are in the U.S. Senate. And you can attribute a lot of things, but what we can do in Indiana is focus on our senators. And when you look at Joe Donnelly, the kindest way for me to say it is that he is only with us when it doesn't matter, right? So when it doesn't matter, when we don't need his vote, when we don't need his help, he's right there patting us on the back. But when it matters, when it's that final vote for Obamacare to get it implemented when he was still a congressman in Nancy Pelosi's house, he voted for it with Nancy Pelosi. When we were trying to repeal Obamacare, he voted to not repeal it again with Obama and those kinds, and against our president. $150 billion to the Iranian government so that they can do terrorism at the behest of President Obama. What Hoosier thinks that's good judgment? Let's give $150 billion to the largest known state sponsor of terrorism. Joe Donnelly thinks that, and that's a good idea. And I can go on and on, but every time it matters, he's lethal,
right?
In a very real sense. And so he's not good for Indiana, and he's, you know, downright dangerous to our security. Because look, I'm hearing news reports now that some of that money has gotten all the way to North Korea, and that's a very real threat. So it's just terrible judgment. And whether it's taxes, Trump, Iran, abortion. You know, here he is, a practicing Catholic, he says, yet he won't defund Planned Parenthood. Immigration, you know, he won't build the wall. He won't stand up when illegal immigrants kill people. And he stands up for them instead of Hoosiers. You know, he's with the slogan of my campaign is defeat the elite.
Yeah, tell us what that means. I've seen that, but tell us what that means.
Yeah, so you know, it means Joe Donnelly. He's a Washington liberal elite that thinks, and they're elite because they think they know how to run our lives better than we know, right? So that's the overarching theme of every one of their policies is just give us your money, just give us your freedom, just give us your guns, just give, and everything will work out better. Now, yeah, I'm sure as a lawyer, Grant, you're a learned student of history as well. You know then that every time that's been tried in the past, it's failed.
Right.
And people have ended up starving in the streets and dying for it. And so that's, you know, that's what I mean by though the elites. They're terrible. We got to defeat them. I don't mean economic elites. I mean, I want all of us to be prosperous.
Right.
I mean, that's the conservative way. We want everyone to earn their happiness, have the dignity of work. So, you know, we want everyone to be better off that way. I'm talking about the political elites, the liberal Washington elites, and also the elites in the Republican Party, the establishment that is benefiting from a rigged system that benefits from the status quo. One of my primary opponents was a lobbyist before he went to Congress, and he'll be a lobbyist after I beat him. And that's just the matter. He's using these offices as stepping stones, and it shouldn't be that way. That's what elites do. You should be in these offices and run for these offices because it would be the highest honor and privilege of your life to serve fellow Hoosiers, and don't expect anything for it. And I don't.
Sure, I you're making good arguments here, and I expect nothing less from you from a lawyer, and I honestly, I think you're going to really resonate with the voters. Tell me, however, I want to talk a little bit about some negatives that you're getting from your opponents in the primary. And I mean, take a little bit of time if you can, or if you want to respond to some of those things that, hey, you know, he said he wants to defeat the elite, but he's been in Congress. He's in Congress.
So that on that one, it's not how long you served. I don't admit any of this is my career. You know, I intend to go back to the private sector. I just can't leave this fight right now. We're in a fight for the heart and soul of our nation. We're in a fight to determine who we're going to be for the next 100 years. Are we going to be more like the last 100? Are we going to adhere to the strict meaning of the Constitution? Or are we going to be like Europe? Or even worse, South America? I mean, the Democratic Party has an announced socialist as one of its leaders, Bernie Sanders. I mean, and that's real.
Mm-hmm.
And he won the Indiana primary for the Democrats.
Amazing, really,
yeah,
right?
So these ideas, you know, capitalism versus socialism, all that is on the table. So I cannot leave it right now. Elitism isn't defined by how long you've been in office. Elitism, in the way what we're talking about here, is defined on how you behave in office, and whether it's Luke Messer using these offices as stepping stones, being a lobbyist, not living in the state, living in lobbyist heaven in Virginia, whether it's Mike Braun, who was a Democrat his entire life until he wanted to be in the state legislature and knew he had to do that, he had to be a Republican in Jasper, Indiana. Switches parties, runs for office, and in 2 years that he was in the General Assembly, is now responsible for the largest tax increase in Indiana history. Does that sound conservative to you? Does that sound Republican? And he raised 45 other taxes in 2 years. So that sounds pretty elite to me, both him and Luke. It's not how long or not you've been in office. How you behave while you're in office. At every turn, I have fought for this state. I have fought for Americans. When I was your Secretary of State, photo identification at the polls, putting people in trust so your vote wasn't diluted by people who would cheat the system. That doesn't sound elite to me. Rethinking redistricting. When I proposed redistricting reforms, my own party wasn't happy. And I said, tough. You know, these districts shouldn't be drawn so you can pick your voters. The voters ought to pick you.
Right.
I don't care what party. I mean, that sounds like it's empowering people. That doesn't sound too elitist to me. So that's, I know you're not arguing with me about that, but that's what I would say if they were on the show at the
same
time.
Sure. And we're we're really doing good on time, but I want to get into kind of my favorite segment when we've done some of these, and that's a lightning round. And Congressman, if you'll, I guess, entertain me for a little bit, because I love this part. I'm going to give you a couple of names, and I want you to kind of off the cuff, in three words or so, tell me what you think of that person or that concept, okay?
Okay.
Lightning round. Here we go. And I'm going to give you some names, and you just give me a quick response.
You want three responses, you say?
Ideally, give me like the first three words or so that come to your mind. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
So, someone you serve with, Nancy Pelosi.
crumbs. Elite. Out of touch.
Good. Okay.
She's not a dumb lady.
Is she shrewd?
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Mitch McConnell.
Gorsuch.
That's obviously for conservatives a big piece of the puzzle. I mean, that was a valuable.
Yeah, thing. You know, he gets knocked around a lot, but you got to remember, he was offered a deal before President Trump won, to do that Merrick Garland fellow or whoever it was, the Obama suggestion, and to Mitch's credit, he said no.
Sure.
And as a result, without Mitch McConnell, we wouldn't have Gorsuch. So I say Gorsuch.
Awesome. Okay, President Barack Obama.
Socialist, divider, arrogant.
Sure. Have you ever had a chance to meet the president? President Obama, I mean?
President Obama? Yes, I met him a couple times, yeah.
Interesting. Okay, here's going to be the last one.
I like Joe Biden better, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Mr. Biden has more of a personality. You know, you felt like you're getting sold a car, but you're all right with it.
It was a decent car, sure. Okay, President Donald Trump.
Fighter, America first, MAGA.
MAGA. Have you had a chance to meet President Trump?
I have, yeah, and it's true. He eats chocolate cake every time I've seen him. When we were eating something, he had chocolate cake at the end.
So he's a chocolate cake fan. Let them eat cake, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But I guess that while people were wondering, does he really eat chocolate cake? I guess that's a thing for him. And I come to think of it, every time I've sat with him, which I can't say is a million times, but it's probably been two or three.
He's eating chocolate cake.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you another quick question. We're going to have to get wrapped up. I'm going to give you the closing argument. Give me your closest friend, perhaps, in Congress on the Republican side of the aisle and on the Democrat side of the aisle.
Oh, well, on the Republican, that's I hang out with a lot of the Freedom Caucus guys in Congress. So, you know, the Raul Labradors, Mick Mulvaney, now the OMB director, he's a dear friend. Trey Gowdy's a very good friend. So those are good guys.
Good.
And then you just for Democrats too, then?
That we yeah, if you got a Democrat.
Yep. On the Democratic side, you see me hanging out a lot of times with a lot of the blue dogs, the ones that are left. Jim Cooper of Tennessee might be one. But also some others like Tulsi.
Tulsi from Hawaii.
Gabby. Yeah, from Hawaii.
Okay.
She and I and a bunch of members work out together in the morning. So.
Oh, good. Well, this has been really fun for me. I've really enjoyed it. I'm going to give you just your short closing argument for Todd Rokita for U.S. Senate.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to say when it comes to who you trust to do this, you got to look at people, a person who knows the state and where the state knows him. And that person is me. And the other question you have to ask is, do you really want to get rid of Donnelly? Because, and the answer to that has got to be yes. He is dangerous for America. He's dangerous for Indiana because he votes with people like socialist Bernie Sanders 85% of the time. There's just no denying that. And it's doubly caustic because he does it with a smile on his face as he's patting us on the back. But an incumbent senator, no matter what state, no matter what party, is serious business to try to defeat. They have the accoutrements of incumbency, so to speak. So that requires a serious candidate, one, like I said, that knows the state where the state knows him, a fighter to be an ally with Donald Trump. You know, our party, if you say your listenership is very conservative and very Republican, I'll tell you, our party, the Republican Party, is now, for the first time in a long time, the party of the working men and women. And I never want to lose that. So let's not, by sending, you know, someone who has vulnerabilities, someone who's part of the Republican establishment that was working against being the party of the working men and women again, was against President Trump, and that'd be Luke Messer, or a guy that was nowhere to be found to help Mr. Trump, like Mike Braun, who was, you know, until very recently was voting Democratic. Can't beat a Democrat with a Democrat. So, you know, these two are disqualifying for me. And I don't mean that personally, and I don't mean that meanly. I just want to beat Joe Donnelly. And that's why I asked the question. If you do too, then join me. Join the Todd Rokita team, toddrokita.com, toddrokita.com, and let's get this job done. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to fight with our president. I'm ready to fight for all of us, just like I have the entire time I've been in public service, Grant. Thank you very much for your time and your interest in all this.
Great job. A wonderful interview, and I truly appreciate it. Thank you.
See you, Grant. Talk to you next time.
Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Ligoti. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4-Star Country, the General 95.9 FM, 1580 a.m. You can also listen to a copy of today's program and past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Swartzentruber, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning at 8:35 a.m. on Memories 107.9 WAMW, and each Sunday morning on 95.9 and 1580 WAMW as we focus on the community.